From Taiwan to Cook Islands.
From the United Kingdom to the United States of America.
From Switzerland to Canada.
From Morocco to South Africa.
There is a Nigerian with something for the ears of the world.
Listen to Nigerians in Diaspora on Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora closer home. Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora closer home. Of course, still on Diaspora Discourse today. And, we'll be moving on to another person that we'll be talking to in the Diaspora. And we'll be talking to Mr. Yinka Oyeniji. Good day to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
You're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
It's my pleasure, actually.
All right. Okay. So we're still looking at diaspora perspective, and we're looking at the aftermath of the NSAS protest in Nigeria and the way forward. But the very first question I will ask is that: what is your take on the NSAS protest that occurred in Nigeria?
All right. Everybody can attest to it. It took a long while coming. It's something that we never knew would happen. It's something that we didn't think would happen in the way that it happened. And of course, even though we knew it would happen, we didn't think it would happen this soon. And I can explain that. Since our return to democracy in 1999, there have been expectations that have been unmet. And you would find that the same individuals who have been in governance in Nigeria for long periods still get elected and continue to maintain their prominence.
Okay.
So we've recycled leaders across board, and the dividends of democracy are not there to see. They're nothing to write them about. So everybody understands that a change is necessary. That's the real change. But it didn't look like the ballots would provide this change. So there's been calls for restructuring and all of that. And so the protest was perfectly justified. It was going to come anyway. It's just that we didn't think it would come at the time it did, and we didn't think it would be as organized as that. So it's a landmark.
Okay. All right. Do you think that, looking at the protest generally, we know that basically this concerns majority of the Nigerian youths. And aside, even in Nigeria, we also saw that in the diaspora, lots of Nigerian youths came out to also protest against the NSAS. If we're looking at it, do you think that there's something Nigerians should have done differently in the course of the protest?
All right. So again, the answer to the question you have not asked is whether this protest was only about SARS, Special Anti-Robbery Squad. Now, this is just one component of a major problem. If you like, a cancerous issue that has plagued Nigerians for a very long time, which is bad leadership and bad governance. It's just that the people who organized this protest identified that narrative as a vehicle by which it could push the frontiers of agitation across board. And you would find that possibly every household has had some kind of experience with a special anti-robbery squad, whether directly or indirectly. Okay, so it was something that was potent enough to arouse interest across board. It was something that the youth could resonate with, especially because young persons are most victimized by SARS. So it was able to galvanize interest, even though it was not the basis of the protest. Okay, that agitation still exists, whether you cancel SARS, you change the name, or you do not even have any agency at all. The agitation is valid and it is still existent. Is there anything that could have been done different? No, absolutely nothing. We have never, for me personally, those protests were bigger than June 12 election itself. Very organized. It was, if you ask me, I thought it was a civilian coup. The young people provided a parallel government that achieved what many administrations were never able to come up with in Nigeria. They were that organized, that they were funded, there was transparency, they could galvanize support across board. They could even get the attention of religious leaders who hitherto would not want to be involved in leadership concerns in the country. That was how potent it was. It came at a time when Nigeria was supposed to be celebrating 60 years of independence that we have nothing to show for. Okay, so there's absolutely nothing that could have been done differently on the part of Nigerians.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. You stated something earlier that caught my attention. You said that the question that I should have asked is that it was the protest, was it basically about NSAS or, you know, other issues in Nigeria, which, of course, I've had this conversation with quite a couple of people, and they also mentioned that, of course, we know that this isn't the main, of course, the NSAS is the main problem, but there were so many other issues that Nigerian youths were, you know, concerned about. We're talking about bad governance, we're talking about a system that we need for it to work. Yes, so I knew that for sure that, definitely there was more to the NSAS protest. It wasn't just about ending police brutality. Now, talking about other things, talking about what should have been done differently, you said, you mentioned some interesting points, which I quite agree with, that the Nigerian youths were absolutely organized, and you know, they were able to accomplish so many things in the course of the protest. But at the same time, so many people have said so many things, like the protest went on for too long, and at some point it was beginning to lose its value. You do not agree with that?
Well, I think that it would be foolhardy for anybody to attempt to conduct a post-mortem on the protest that has not ended. So if you are looking at the impact, for me, as far as I'm concerned, and I said it on broadcast exactly 1 week ago, actually, on Channels Television. That interview was cut short because I was eating raw nerves. I said to them, it's too late for the government to have a hang on this protest. This protest, the government has lost the plot. That's number one. A direct hit is like knocking the boxer out. Number two, it will be foolhardy of anybody to attempt to conduct a post-mortem so soon. The protest has not ended. Now, let me take you through the sequence of events so that you know it's like something that is unraveling. This is Nigeria's second pandemic, and that is what it is. A protest that is being replicated in nations of the world. It isn't ended yet at all. Just over the weekend, the United Kingdom had a protest march in major cities. Even churches joined in what we have now called prayer walks only yesterday. So let's talk about this protest. These guys were on the road for over 10 days, organized to public toilets. Has any government ever put in place public toilets in Nigeria? In the history of the amalgamation, have you ever, how many people have ever had a good experience using public toilets in Nigeria? These guys have public toilets in place. How many times have we fed people, even the politicians who do it during elections? Do they feed people in such organized manner? These guys fed 100 in an organized manner. Thousands. These guys raised over 200 and something million within 10 days. These guys accounted for all of the naira that they spent. These guys had so much online support that they got the attention of international media organizations. And then what happened? The first thing that happened, even the so-called governor of Lagos State, who came with this curfew story, joined in the protest. This is a protest that has been joined in by governors of several states of Nigeria, including Rivers and Oyo State. Now, the first thing they did was to say, we would have a curfew. That curfew wasn't going to solve anything because till today, that curfew has not been effective. The protest continued in the different centers. Other than that, movement continued. Now, so he announced a curfew, ill-timed, ill-implemented, wrongly enforced. And then the next thing, the soldiers came in. It wasn't the curfew that ended this protest. So the protest is not ended. It was the intervention, the criminal intervention of soldiers that ended this protest. Albeit, the agitations continue. They came, they shot, the footages are there. Even those of us in our minds that saw the videos, the shots are still ringing in our ears. They shot and then muzzled these guys out of the place. Of course, immediately that happened, all hell broke loose. Till yesterday, even in the Federal Capital Territory, Abuja, people are still breaking into warehouses.
Yes.
To cut away palliative. So it's too early for for anybody to say, oh, this is what they would have done, the protest was too long. This protest hasn't even ended. There are people who are building political structures on this protest. So the impact will continue for a very long time until Nigerians get a government that truly has their best interest at heart. That is when we can sit back. If you ask, chronicle of the protest, the chronicles of the shift, it has not unraveled to an end. We are still in the process, and I say again, it will be premature to be able to conduct a post-mortem to say whether the protest went on for too long at this time.
Okay, so from what you have said, you're saying that in Nigeria, even as at this very moment, the protest is not done. Hello? Okay, so the network is coming in the way of this very enlightening conversation, and let us not forget that we are still having a conversation with Mr. Yinka Oyeniji. Okay, and we're still trying to reach out to him. The network came in the way, and definitely this will still go on. There's a whole lot more to talk about. We're still talking about diaspora perspective of the NSAS protest in Nigeria. Welcome back, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we lost you for a little bit. You mentioned some very, very interesting points. And I want to ask again. So you're saying that at this very moment, the protest isn't done in Nigeria.
It isn't. Not at least not for me. And I know how many calls I've received over the last 3-4 days about what people think the next step should be. And I don't even know how much I can say on air. There are people who are apprehensive that this may call for another military intervention in governance. There are people who are apprehensive. This is a post-impact of the protest. Oh, there are traditional rulers who have stated that they are not going back to their palaces. There are traditional rulers who have suddenly lost more goodwill and credibility with their people. There are traditional rulers who subjects have reinforced security in their palaces. There are areas that still have pockets of violence here and there. So we can't, the protest isn't ended. We still have some leading lights on the protest still addressing the CNN. We still have people who are hell-bent on filing criminal charges against this government at the International Court of Justice. So the impact is widening. It just takes a keen eye to know that it hasn't ended yet.
Okay, that sounds like a ray of hope, as a matter of fact, because so many people, especially in Nigeria, so many youths have been asking, so what now? So many of them are losing hope. So many of them are saying that, okay, so that's it. Just that, I mean, the protest came and then now it has ended. And so many other comments that I've seen online. But you saying now that the protest isn't even done, it looks like we have only just begun. All right, at this point, what do you think is the best line of action for the youths in terms of re-strategizing?
Again, any wise person will know that there's no suggestion anybody should give to the youths. The youths did not call for any contributions when they came out with this grand plan, which has gone according, is going better than they envisaged, I'm sure, because the protest continues to expose the inadequacies of leadership in Nigeria. If you look at the crisis management skills that different governments have shown, look at the lack of empathy from the federal government. It shows to the people on a daily basis. Look at the question of hoarding palliatives, something that is inconceivable. I don't even think in war times, there is ceasefire and safe zones to transport relief materials. In Nigeria, during pandemic, we are hoarding palliatives. So this government is losing credibility. This government is losing the plot with respect to this protest that started. For the youths and for those who were protesting, they are already going back online to regroup. It is what it is. I mean, there's a four-time Lagos State House of Assembly member who ordered this palliatives and said he was going to give them out on his birthday. How inhumane, how insensitive can that be? If not for the protest, would we ever have known that? Would we even have known that palliatives were locked up? So this is just the beginning. Now, I'm not going to tell the youths to go form a political party or whatever. I'm going to say that this government should be concerned about the sustainability of its legitimate standing in office till 2023. There is absolutely nothing that says that this government will last till 2023. That is a fact. We don't need to deceive ourselves. The world is coming up out of one pandemic. Nigeria is coming. No, Nigeria is neck deep in the second one. Rebuilding Lagos and restoring those assets that have been destroyed will cause a setback in an already submitted appropriation bill for 2021. I've been seeing figures talking about 1 trillion naira. The insurance companies will need some sort of bailout to be able to withstand the liabilities arising out of this destruction. The High Court of Lagos State has lost one of, in fact, a historical building and years of litigation. Where do you think those lawyers will start from? Where will we retrieve those files from? That set us back at least 5 years. So what is very important is that instead of conducting or imposing a red herring of the impact of the protest or the looting that has happened, we should go back to the legitimate demand which the youths projected. Until the government can buy back the goodwill of the people, restoring some hope in the citizenry to give the government at all levels a chance, then it's not over. For me, as an individual legal practitioner, I'm looking at the constitutional amendment process that's going on at the National Assembly.
Okay.
I just read somewhere this morning that even that has stalled for lack of funds. I can never understand that. Now, benchmark that against the huge, humongous, astronomical allowances being received by members of the National Assembly, who think that their emoluments are more important than restructuring or putting in place the legal framework to stand as Nigeria. If you look at all of those things, it is bleak ahead, and that is the root of the matter. So for the young people, the agitation will continue. It is valid. For some of them, they will think, oh, it's exploiting a political party. But I will hang it on one word, sustainability of this administration till 2023 and beyond. That's what is in question.
Oh my, I find this very enlightening. You've mentioned some very valid points, and I really do think that at this point, for anybody that is listening right now, especially to the youths, I'm very sure that they're drawing some sort of inspiration or some sort of strength from this conversation with things that you have put forward. But let's look at it generally. In the course of the activities so far, youths especially have called for the intervention of international communities. And, there were a lot of petitions online calling for the sanctioning of the Nigerian government. Well, what do you think, or what help do you think the international communities can render at a time like this?
Oh, well, so I'll tell you the truth. The straight legitimate assistance that the international community will send, there's another that is never on the table, but it's a potent tool that has been used. I can give you different scenarios of that. Now, the international community will send investigators. Let us examine what is happening. The Human Rights Commission on the continent will consider the human rights issues. That may drag on for a very long time. But what is very important, what is even most important, is to consider the legitimacy of this. Whether you like it or not, it is online that people are disputing who is the man in the house, who is the president. You see that there are news,
yes,
fake or not, that I've read over the weekend, and people are saying, oh, is that man truly the president? Was there a minute of silence given at the level of African leaders to mourn of our president in 2017, you will know that even at that time, it was shrouded, the health status was shrouded in secrecy, and it wasn't even there for Nigerians to see. So the international community is watching. The global oil crisis have crashed. And so the holding Nigeria together as an entity will be something of concern for the international community. The reason why you won't have the president of the most powerful nation in the world, which is the United States, talking right now, it's because of the elections. The U.S. elections in November are there. The Brexit imbroglio is there to be sorted out sometime in January. Now, after all of these things have been handled, focus will be back on Nigeria, because then Nigeria itself will be moving closer to another general election. The international community wants peace in Nigeria more than anything else. And then anything that will be threatening the peace or that may cause insurrection or the fact that the citizens could take up arms against the government will be issues of concern to the international community.
Wow. Well, as a matter of fact, I think that you know, this particular point, we're hearing so many other you know, perspective from Mr. Yinka Oyeniji, but unfortunately we just lost him again. Let's while we're trying to still reach out, let's take a very, very short break, and when we come back, we hope that we'll have him on the line. Stay tuned.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. The authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy all the way. All right, we're still talking to Mr. Yinka Oyeniji, and we're talking about the diaspora perspective of the NSAS, the aftermath of the NSAS protest in Nigeria, and of course, the way forward. And well, the very last question that I asked, I was talking about the intervention of international communities, and Mr. Yinka was saying something. Hello, sir, we're with you.
Yes, yeah, so as I was saying, well, there's a straightforward intervention that you see, which is at the level of probably United Nations, Commonwealth countries, mm-hmm. and the special interest that you get from United States. Okay. Those are straightforward interventions that we'll find. But those that are not on the table, that will be resorted to or taken care of behind the scenes, will relate to the legitimacy of this administration. And then I was talking about the fact that at, on the continent, there have been issues relating to the health status of whoever this time in Asoro. That is mm-hmm. shrouded in some controversy. Mm-hmm. So whether we like it or not, the international community, after the U.S. elections in November, yes. and right after the Brexit issue is sorted, focus will return back to Nigeria. Mm-hmm. The whole world needs peace in Nigeria, especially considering the coming out of the COVID pandemic and the recession. The looming global recession. Focus will be back on Nigeria, all right, mm-hmm. with respect to global food market and global oil prices. So it is important that Nigeria remains stable under the right administration. And that would be something that the international community will hold dear to its heart 2021.
Okay, talking about the intervention of international bodies, you know, you mentioned that as soon as the election is done, and likewise the Brexit, that focus will be back on Nigeria. But do you think that, because at this point, well, we can't say for next week, but at this point, the cries and the yearning for the NSAS has died down a little bit, and we do not know what it will be like starting from next week. You don't know the force and the energy that will be put into it. But do you think that if there is not so much energy, and if there's not so much you know, talks about the NSAS, the international bodies might not find it interesting to intervene?
Okay, so that's exactly what I'm saying to you. Anybody who thinks it's ended is kidding themselves, first of all. Okay. Anybody who thinks it's ended. These guys didn't tell you. They didn't give you a notice that from October 8th, or so to speak, we are going to go on the streets. Everybody thinks that the agitations were cooked and served on the streets. And I'm saying that those agitations would have taken years of organizing behind the scenes with anticipation. I think that it's only the politicians who would think that this is flash in the pan and that the agitations have ended. Are you kidding me? Falls is still online, yes. addressing people. Their signature gathered. Even right here in the United Kingdom, there's protests going on in Chatham House. All right, a signature saying that the president of Nigeria should be made to face the ICC. Don't kid yourself that it's dying down. What you are not seeing is people blocking major roads in Nigeria. And that is because that has served its purpose. That has served its purpose. There is a new political party that's been bandied about, whether we are giving them a chance or not. YNDP or something, yeah. is gathering signatures on a daily basis. Look, the elections that brought in the governor of Lagos State had only 900,000 voters for the two leading contenders. Sanwo-Olu himself had only 700,000 votes. Jimmy Agbaje of PDP had only 200,000 votes. Do you know how many signatures the youths have garnered in 48 hours? So don't let us sit back to think, oh, gangsters have died down and that's the end. Oh, you are... And such individuals don't even know what is coming. Because whether you like it or not, it started with NSAS. It moved to Godfatherism. It moved to corruption and hoarding palliatives. Who knows? I think that to write it off right now would be foolhardy. My honest opinion.
Okay. All right. So I think that we just need to get ready for more activities and more news to unfold at this point in time. All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Yinka Oyeneji. Thank you so much for such an enlightening conversation, of course. And I really do hope that, personally, I'm holding on to your words, and I want to believe that something definitely is coming, and we just have to wait for it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, too.
All right, sir. Please enjoy the rest of your day. All right, that's it coming from Mr. Yinka Oyeneji talking about the diaspora perspective on the NSAS protest in Nigeria. All right, we're going to wrap it up here, definitely. And you can be certain that there's definitely going to be more content coming up on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
From Taiwan to Cook Islands.
From the United Kingdom to the United States of America.
From Switzerland to Canada.
From Morocco to South Africa.
There is a Nigerian with something for the ears of the world.
Listen to Nigerians in Diaspora on Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora closer home.